ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 44, The Killing of Kamsa, beginning with text 40. Tasya Anujaha Vrataraha Astau Kanka Nyagrodaka Adaya Kanka Nyagrodaka Adaya Ajadhavan Atikrudaha Bratuhu Nirvesha Karinaha Tasyanuja Bhartaroshtau Kanka Nyagrode Kadayaha Adyadhavan Atikrudha Bratu Nirveshakarninaha Tasyanuja Bhartaroshtau Kankanya Grodakadyaha Adyadhaban Atikrudha Bratur Nirvishakarinaha Tasyanuja Bhartaroshtau Kankanya Grodakadayaha Adyadhavan Atikrudha Bratur Nirvishakarinaha Tasyanuja Bhartaroshtau Jabratarostau Kankanya Grodakadayaha Adyadhavan Atikruda Bratur Nirveshakarinaha Tasya of him Kamsa Anujaha younger Bratarah the brothers, Ashtau, eight. Kankanya Grodaka Adayaha. Kanka, Nyagrodaka, and the others. Adyadhavan ran forward to attack. Atikrudaha, infuriated. Bratu, to their brother. Nirvesha, repayment of the debt. Karinaha, doing. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. Kansa's eight brothers, led by Kanka and Nyagrodaka, then attacked the lords in a rage, seeking to avenge their brother's death. We'll go on, there's no purport. Tatati Rabasangs tongues to Sangyatam Rohini Sutaha Ahan Padigam Adyamya Pashun Eva Mrigadipaha. As they ran swiftly toward the two lords, ready to strike, the son of Rohini slew them with his club just as a lion easily kills other animals. Nedur dundu bayo vyomni brahmeshadi brahmeshadya vibhutayaha pushpai kirantastam pritaha shangshasur nandritu striyaha. Kettle drums resounded in the sky as Brahma, Shiva, and other demigods, the Lord's expansions, rained down flowers upon him with pleasure. They chanted his praises, and their wives danced. Tisham Striyo Maharaja Surin Maranadu Kitaha Tatrabi Yur Vinignantyaha Shishani Ashubit Ashuvilochanaha. My dear king, the wives of Kansa and his brothers, aggrieved by the death of their well-wishing husbands, came forward with tearful eyes, beating their heads. Chayanam vidashayayam patin aling dishoshatihi Vilapu suswaram naryo visrijantyo mahushuchaha. Embracing their husbands, who lay on a hero's final bed, the sorrowful women loudly lamented while shedding constant tears. Ha nata priya dharmagya karuna nata vatsala Traya hatina nihata vayam te sakriha prajaha. The women cried out, "Alas, O master, O dear one, O knower of religious principles, O kind and compassionate protector of the shelterless, by your being slain, we have also been slain together with your household and offspring." Tavya virahita patya puriyam purusharshaba na shobate vayam iva nivitot savamangala. O great hero among men, bereft of you, its master, this city has lost its beauty, just as we have, and all festivity and good fortune within it have come to an end. Nagasham twang bhutanam kritavan droham ulbanam temimam bodhisham nito bhutadruk kolabhetasham. O dear one, You have been brought to this state because of the terrible violence you committed against innocent creatures. How can one who harms others attain happiness? Purport. Having expressed their sentimental grief, the ladies now speak practical wisdom. They are beginning to see things realistically because their minds were purified by the agony of the recent events and by the association of Lord Krishna. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karori Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Namashrestha Manu Apisati Putram Atrasarupam Rupam Tasya Grajim Udupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivadamaho Radhika Madhavasam Prapto Yasya Patita Kripiyo Shri Gurun Tannatosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sujivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Chimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Hantayam Adalabala Haridasya Varyo Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramodaha Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayo Yat Paniyasu Ivasakandana Kandamulahai Matsamo Nasti Papatma Napadadi Nakaschana Padi Hare Pilajjame Kim bruve purushottama yuvadinam tatayuni yunam cha yavatau yata mano birabate tadvam mano me ramatam toyi bhumau skalita padanam bhumireva balam vanam toyi jata padadanam tvam meva sharanam prabho Govinda Balabe Radhe Prarthiye Tvamaham Sada Tudiyam Iti Janatu Govindo Mam Tvaya Saha Radhe Vrindavanadishe Karunamrita Vahini Kripaya Tavapadabja Tasyam Mayam Pradiyatam So, what an enlightening series of verses. Here we can understand just how strong the attachment to material relatives are. As they say, blood is thicker than water. It is the structure of the material universe organized by Krishna, that the soul coming in contact with material energy through the medium of false ego becomes attached, identifies itself with the material energy, and then is allowed by that potency of the Lord, apanom apoanam cha. We can't even forget without Krishna's blessing, without Krishna's sanction. Everything is sanctioned directly or indirectly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is, by the way, standing right in front of these personalities. And just to remind you what a character this Kamsa was, just a few verses ago, he said, "Drive the two wicked sons of Vasudev out of the city. Confiscate the cowherd's property and arrest that fool Nanda. Kill that most evil fool Vasudev. And also kill my father, Ugrasena, along with his followers, who have all sided with our enemies." So, Prahlad Maharaj very nicely put it. He said, the basis of politics is the concept of friends and enemies. As soon as you think in your mind that you have this person as your friend or this person as your enemy, you're immediately, you know, thrust into a political mentality and a political situation. And this is the source of dissension in the material world. There's another verse in the Bhagavatam that says that social intercourse in the material world is the cause of dissension in this material world. So we should understand that if we have feelings of enmity towards others, then this is the problem. We are identifying with the body, we're identifying with the things that belong to the body, especially the family members, the immediately family members, and extended family members. And therefore, we can't really feel compassion for others. Therefore, the queens, even though they've just heard their husband make these outlandish orders to kill innocent people without regard, still they're saying, "Oh, now I've lost you. Now that we've lost you, how can our city be peaceful? How can the family members be happy? We've lost everything now. We're finished also." You know, this is the rantings of madmen and women. The rantings of madmen and women. But then what happens? Because Krishna was present by his causeless mercy, because Krishna was present, even though they were raging on like this and grieving, it's natural. The process of grieving when you lose someone dear to you is natural. And it's a process that if you stop grieving artificially by some philosophical, you know, instruction, then you won't get free from the attachment. You won't get free from the contamination. This is one of the purposes of grief. I had a personal experience of this. You know the story. I went and took care of my mother before she left, and that was a very intense situation because there was no devotees around. There was just me. There was no other family members. It was just me taking care of her. And by social circumstances, her minister, she was a Christian, her minister was in political battle with some congregation members of their church, right? And he was looking for another congregation to go to, another church to go to. So she was abandoned completely by everyone, widowed. So I was there, you know, taking care of her. And it was very intense, and by the will of Krishna, because her attachment was natural. Prabhupada said, I heard him say this morning, you may be separated from your father for a long, long time, and you may even forget. But when the father comes in front, when you actually get that reconnection, automatically the affection comes, because that's the nature of this material world. Therefore, sannyasis are recommended not to see their wives after they renounce. Because after you've had connection with woman, no matter whether it's legal or not, there's a tremendous completeness in the material conception and attachment to the material body. And therefore, that attachment's very strong. And even the sannyasi is properly situated and is powerful. You know, if he comes in contact, direct contact, and sees and associates with the wife, then that attachment can come back and the person can fall down. Therefore, these things are carefully organized and arranged by Krishna, how we can come out of the material nature. And what happened was, when my mother finally passed away after hearing some Bhagavatam and becoming that natural filial affection, maternal affection came out at the end. And when I just took a risk, I started reading Krishna book to her and all these things, and she came out. She actually, by influence of Prabhupada's influence, she became a devotee. It was mystical. It was a miracle. I saw it with my own eyes. And, you know, we were holding hands at the end and crying and realizing that we were actually worshiping the same God all along and acknowledging it. It was wonderful. It was really wonderful. And afterwards, I suppose partly out of a feeling of guilt for having, you know, gone away, although I tried to stay connected, and my father was the one that rejected us, coming in the same mood as Kamsa, you know, get out of here, you know, you're a Hare Krishna, I never want to see you again, you know, take him out of the will, disown, it was like that. And my mother she was forced, you know, to go along with it, you see. So these women are like that, they're forced to go along with their husband, their protection. So even in that situation, there's benefit. There's actually benefit. And what was the ultimate benefit was that Krishna was there. So at the end, when she left, she even took initiation from Shivaram Maharaj. It's unbelievably transformation, unbelievable. And I checked day after day to make sure she knew what she was doing. And she knew what she was doing. You know, who can say how far she went? But she was in tremendous pain. She chanted Hare Krishna 2 or 3 times at least, and she didn't do anything to break that spell, you know, inoffensive chanting. When you chant from force of circumstances, Prabhupada said, it's automatically inoffensive. So these emotional moments, tremendous emotional moments, allow the soul to vent their attachments, and it's not that when we become devotees we become, you know, free from emotion. This is the impersonal conception. We still have emotions and we still have feelings, and sometimes we express them, but the difference is that in Krishna's presence, in the presence of Krishna's devotees, the effect is that one becomes purified. And I remember the morning after my mother left, and then they came to take the body and everything, and I just sat down in the front room of the house that I was raised in, and I just cried. I just cried full on. There was no one there to inhibit my I'm just revealing a little something intimate, I guess, but there was no one around. And I just bawled like a baby for a couple of days. Every time I would stop and I'd start again, stop and start again. It went on for 2 days. And after that, I felt tremendous relief. I felt it was a cathartic situation. There was a cut. There was a material, subtle connection to the material body and material world was cut. And I was feeling liberated. It was wonderful, really wonderful. This is the effect. of genuine grief in the presence of Krishna. You see? So here we have the same thing happening. Prabhupada says in the purport, having expressed their sentimental grief, because that's what material grief is, it's sentimental, means it's about the material energy, and the material energy, the material forms are temporal, they're temporary. So the elation that we feel when something goes well, the lament we feel when something goes not our way, are temporary. And this basic truth, if we become actually aware of it and actually apply the instruction into our own personal lives, then we get relief. We get relief. Especially if we stay in the presence of Krishna, we get relief. But Krishna, he's another kind of person. He's the supreme person. He doesn't have the same feelings of entanglement. He has deeper feelings than anyone, but they're not the same kinds of feelings. He loves everyone. He doesn't feel biased one to the other. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvesha stina priya. Name dvesha. Dvesha means aversion, and stia priya means attachment or affection. Name dvesha stina priyaha. Na priya stina priya. I'm not attached one way or the other. Everyone is dear to him. That doesn't mean that he's callous. It doesn't mean that he's just neutral and doesn't have any feelings. It means that he doesn't favor one over the other because of some bodily connection, you know. In the Navabraja Mahima, there's a nice section that Shivaram Maharaj researched from the Puranas, different Puranas, and then compiled some of the details that happened after Kamsa was killed that illustrate this point very nicely. The truth is that everyone was celebrating. The Vrajavasis were celebrating. The Mathuravasis were celebrating. Everyone was celebrating because this guy was a rascal. He was actually a big rascal. It's not that just because you're attached to somebody, you know, because he's in this position or he's, you know, older or whatever, that you can tolerate, you know, rascaldom. Rascaldom is rascaldom. You know, call a spade a spade. Rascaldom is rascaldom. And if a person's a rascal, then eventually, in some way or another, he's going to get caught out for being a rascal. So, you know, the truth is that everyone was celebrating except for Kamsa's immediate relatives, except for those who were connected to his material body. Everyone else was in ecstasy. And Krishna, because he is neutral, he demonstrated it in a practical way. As an excited crowd of citizens led by Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev followed Krishna to the waterfront, Krishna, in order to convince everyone that Kamsa was dead, because he had terrorized everyone for such a long time and he had killed so many people, and apparently he was infallible to them. This is what happens when you get attached to a demon. You lose perspective. You lose your rational ability to take good advice, even. See? Here he had said, kill them, kill them, kill them. These are all relatives he's talking about. But no, they were so attached in a wrong way that they had the affection for him, never mind their other relatives. Never mind. This is what tears communities apart. Biasness. Attachment to one clique as opposed to another clique of people based on social intercourse, social relationships. Everyone celebrated except for the mothers and wives of the deceased demons. Those women loudly lamented the deaths of their husbands and sons, but they were all Krishna's relatives. So he displayed his human-like nature by reprimanding himself as he tried to console them. This is Krishna. This is Krishna and his pure devotees. They don't hold grudges. They don't seek animosity. They don't have animosity toward anyone. And therefore they can give shelter and they can give Krishna consciousness to others. But Krishna could not pacify the women. Even Krishna, direct, straight to the face, even there, here in the Bhagavatam, you know, the purport, Prabhupada says, they speak some practical women wisdom, meaning they're realizing, oh, you have been brought to this state, as they pray to their husband, their dead husband, because you committed violence, you know, against innocent creatures. So even though they have that understanding, even though they have that realization, they can't feel for others the same pain. You see? This is the nature of the material world, and it's set up like that. It's set up like that so that we can learn finally, once and for all, the lesson. Can't be happy here. No matter how attached you are to your wife and your kids and your house and your bank balance and all the lovely things you have, you can't keep them. They're going to go. And unless you become detached before they go, then you will suffer. And the more attached you are, the more you'll suffer. Therefore, we're recommended highly in all the shastras, from all the acharyas. Everyone says the same thing. Practice detachment in this life by absorbing your heart in loving service to Krishna and getting attached to Krishna more and more. Automatically, we become detached from the material side of our relationships and we become attached to the spiritual side. These things belong to Krishna. It's a different level of attachment. It doesn't cause us grief anymore if they're there or not there. But Krishna, because he's showing how a human being behaves, he does exhibit the lamentation. Not that we should not feel. There's a purport in the Gita where Prabhupada said that it's natural to have affection for our loved ones and our immediate family. It's natural. Not that you can not feel anything for them. That's not possible. Not possible. But the only way to come free is to see them as devotees of Krishna. See them as belonging to Krishna. See yourself as a person who is taking care of them. Not that they belong to you. They belong to Krishna. And if you're in that consciousness, if you actually apply that philosophy, that truth within your own heart, then you can see through the shastras. If you just get information from the shastras, what's right and what's wrong with others, but we don't apply it to our own consciousness and our own lives, our own practical lives, then our eyes don't open in the same way when we look through the knowledge of the shastras. We have to look through knowledge that we have applied ourselves, that we've realized. Those women loudly lamented the deaths of their husbands and sons, but they were all Krishna's relatives, so he displayed his human-like nature by reprimanding himself as he tried to console them. What we can learn from these pastimes? They're not just meant to entertain us. They're meant to teach us. Therefore, Krishna says here, it's his Naralila, it's his human-like pastimes. We're supposed to watch the pastimes, hear them, and then apply. Not that we can imitate, but according to our capacity. We have to apply to our own lives, in our own consciousness. And then we get relief. Then we'll get relief. But the women wouldn't be pacified even by Krishna. Finally, he asked Balaram and other senior members of the Yadu clan to try and appease them while he sat beneath a tree to rest, relieved that Kamsa was dead. No longer could Kamsa and his evil friends harass the Brajbasis. Instead, the new ruler of Mathura, Maharaj Ugrasena, would protect the gopas, gopis, and cows so dear to the Supreme Lord. So he's not attached to anyone, but he is. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshasti na priya. He's not especially, you know, averse or attracted to anyone, but nami bhakti tumam bhakti, na bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. When you approach him with love, with loving service, he becomes attached. He becomes attached. Attachment is a two-way street. When we come in front of Radhakala Chanchi for darshan, it's not that we're giving them our darshan. We're coming in front of him so that they can see us and purify us and approve of us because we're going in front of them, because we're attached to them. They're attached to those who are attached to them. This is the way it works. This is natural. And if you live naturally, then you become happy under all circumstances. And even when you have to do things that are apparently difficult and apparently causing strife to others, when you're in a charge of something or when you have to manage things sometimes, or you have children and you have to teach them, you have to train them. Jagannath Mishra, sometimes he would get so angry at Lord Chaitanya because he was such a naughty child. He would do these crazy things, and sometimes Jagannath Mishra would just want to run after him with a stick and beat him. You know, and all the villagers and townspeople, they say, "You can't do that. This boy is a saint. He's God himself. You can't." He said, "No, he may be whatever he is, but he's my son, and he just did nonsense, and I'm going to teach him a lesson, aren't I?" Madhya Shoda. Yeah? Krishna's stealing and lying and thieving and doing all these things that make him glorious. But because she related to him as mother, she wanted to tie him up. We'll stop you from doing your nonsense. We'll tie you up. And even when there was not enough rope in the whole village that would go around his belly, she was still just bewildered by love. She couldn't understand, and she was allowed by Yogamaya to treat Krishna as her son completely spontaneously and taste the nectar, the ecstasy of that spontaneous relationship. Gradually, the widows stopped their wailing. Krishna and Balaram could now bathe freely in the Yamuna and change their clothes which had been bloodied by the day's acts of heroism. You know, they've got elephant blood and soldier blood and wrestler blood and on their bodies. Then, out of compassion, they returned to Vishwamgat. Oh, first of all, they guided the brothers to Vasudeva's house, where after many arguments, Krishna's grandfather, Maharaj Ugrasena, was finally convinced to accept the throne. He didn't want to do it. Krishna convinced him. Huh? Krishna personally crowned him king. You know. Then they returned to Vishwamgat, and to avoid humiliating their dead relatives any further, the two brothers took the dead bodies upstream by boat to perform the last rites. And they performed the last rites. Krishna had dedicated himself to killing Kamsa. But once the demon had been punished for his sins, the Lord acted as a dutiful nephew and saw to it that Kamsa received a funeral fit for a warrior and king. This is love. This is love. This is what we want. This is what we need. This is the crying need of the day. And when it's not there, that's when we fragment into factions and camps and parties, and feelings of enmity towards one and feelings of special affection towards others. Prabhupada was here, it was so easy in a sense. You know, all of us were just, you know, one family clearly. And when Prabhupada left and the things happened that have to happen according to Shastra, when such a great acharya leaves, the kind of confusion that has to come about according to Shastra. And then now we have, you know, pluralistic society with many gurus, and we're sailing in uncharted waters, trying to find Prabhupada's will, trying to find the will of the Lord, how to do this in a way that all the levels of authority will be sanctified and honored properly, and at the same time, you know, authority will prevail. Spiritual authority will prevail. So Krishna is the Aham Bija Pradapida. He is the seed-giving father of everyone. And he's not mundane. He doesn't favor one person over another, but how they treat him, how they approach him. Yayatam mam prapadyante tongs to daiva bhajam yaham mama vart manuvartante manusha partasarvaja. Everyone is actually following Krishna's path. Everyone. Manusha partasarvaja. But some know it and some don't. That's the only thing. So if we approach Krishna with love, we approach Krishna's devotees with love, if we transform our perception by following in Krishna's footsteps, by hearing his instructions, and actually changing, applying the instructions in our heart, not manufacturing instructions, taking one and leaving the other, cherry-picking the instructions so that we can feel comfortable in our little world. Krishna will allow you to stay in your little world eternally if you want. He's so kind. Whatever's happening to us is happening because we want. That's all. Krishna's just responding to our desires, spiritual and material. He's fulfilling all our desires. So the truth is that the test of whether or not our Krishna consciousness is genuine is how we change, how our hearts change. Even though we may make mistakes, even though sometimes we may slip, we may even fall down or whatever, but if we stay fixed in our devotional lives, in our devotional practices, and try to change, Krishna will help us. And then we will feel that joy, that bliss of devotional service, and we'll be able to give that to others and uplift others. It may be that the whole human society has gone too far to be reclaimed, the whole society. But there are individuals who can be reclaimed and must be reclaimed if we are honest. So, it's all there in the Gita, it's all there in Krishna's teachings, and he's always there for us, even if we stumble, even if we make mistakes, even if we commit offenses. If we continue to chant his holy name sincerely, namaparada yuktanam, namameva yagammaham. Even the holy name is for offenders, because even if we offend the holy name, if we keep chanting, the holy name is powerful enough to relieve us from those offenses, but we have to stay there. We have to stay. And gradually, not that it happens automatically, it requires our reciprocation. It requires our change of desire. And it requires our willingness to apply the merciful teachings that Krishna gives us. Then we can taste real spiritual family life, real affection, real relief, real detachment from material conceptions, because it's our material conceptions that allow us to stay in this material world. Our material conceptions have to be transformed. So rather than thinking, this is my house, this is my wife, this is my danda, whatever, we have to become convinced and accept the proper conception that these things all belong to Krishna and take care of them carefully because they belong to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Krishna ki jai. The killing of Kamsa ki jai. Let's kill the demoniac elements in our hearts and go forward in love. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any comments, questions? Yes, sir.
Like most devotees go through some kind of a dilemma where we have, you know, parents or relatives and we want them to become more Krishna conscious, and we, you know, you got many, many years ago the devotees were taught, you know, in some cases not to talk to your parents, not to go see your parents, because they were, you know, we were very young and devotees were so immature. We may also kind of remember our mature situation in life just by being around other people, but it seemed like many devotees have matured and it felt like we can still maintain proper faith and associate with people and help them become more Krishna conscious or family members. I just thought I'd mention that because that was kind of part of your class too.
Yeah, it depends on our capacity. Depends on circumstances too, like it did with my mom and myself. And but the yardstick should be, if we can do that, and Prabhupada gave us this yardstick. He said it's natural to have, I mean, the instructions there in the Gita is that we didn't apply it properly. That's all. It's my same point I'm making before. When we don't apply it properly, then we get into a mess. But the instructions there It's natural to have affection for family members, and it's not necessary to give them up. Unless you can't be Krishna conscious in their company. Unless you can't be Krishna conscious in their company, then you have to give them up. So maturity means, you know, we may be able to associate, you know, in a way that we don't lose our Krishna consciousness, and we can affect them positively by our company, by our association. But we're not meant to go back into the material world either. Yeah? There's that danger in that approach also. We have to always be conscious of that. So, because if we fall away from Krishna consciousness by doing something like that, then we lose our ability to help others. You know, there's that saying, that famous saying, you know, you can sacrifice a member of the family to save the family. You can sacrifice the family to save the village. You can sacrifice the village to save the district. You can sacrifice the district to save the state. You can sacrifice a whole state to save a country. You can sacrifice a country to save the world. And you can sacrifice the whole world to save yourself.
Don't you have to do that?
Huh?
Don't you have to do
that? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But you know, there's two ways to do it, isn't there? One way is by force, and one way is by voluntary submission. Two different results. So yes, it's true. Prabhupada used the example. When a sapling plant is first put into the ground, sometimes a big stick has to be placed and it has to be tied around the stick so that it will be protected from the wind and the elements and other creatures, and they put a fence around it, so many things. And that's what it's like to be a neophyte devotee. As a matter of fact, there was a situation in which he had to deal with either a relative or someone who had met a devotee who had been immature in the way they spoke and acted to the person. And Prabhupada wrote this long letter apologizing and backing the devotee. And one of the things he said was, this is a neophyte devotee, and they may come out like against something because they don't want to be affected by it themselves. They want the protection. They're afraid that if they show you the wrong kind of affection, they'll again be affected. So forgive them for that. They're sincere. They're trying, you know. So sometimes when we are neophytes, it's not necessarily wrong to do that. But if we take it that the things that we did in the beginning were something wrong, then we can also get into a kind of duality and think towards one another in a way that's, you know, not equibalanced, the number of verses that Krishna speaks in the Gita that stress the importance of being equipoised in the face of duality, you know, in face of happiness and distress and victory and defeat and fame and infamy and all these things. The tremendous number of verses. I haven't counted them. Maybe somebody could do as an exercise. But it's a lot. It's at least 100, at least, maybe more, where Krishna talks about that particular idea, how important it is to become steady. Because without becoming equipoised in that way, it's hard to keep steady in devotional life, in our devotional practices. And that's what pleases Krishna. As a matter of fact, in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll read you this verse. This is a really wonderful verse. Seventh canto, seventh chapter, fifty-first and 52nd verse. This is Prahlad Maharaj speaking to his classmates. And he says, "My dear friends, O sons of the demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas, demigods, or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning. None of these qualifications can awake the pleasure of the Lord, nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness, or vows can one satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show." This is the answer. Because the key word in this verse is unflinching. So how do you define unflinching without a cause to flinch? The word unflinching doesn't mean anything without a cause to flinch, just like the word king doesn't mean anything without subjects, or the word wife doesn't mean anything without a husband, and vice and so on and so on. So this is the art of living a spiritual life in this material world, to learn how to transform something that ordinarily would appear to be negative to be positive. So the things that happen to us that are causes, natural causes to flinch, are blessings given to us by Krishna, an opportunity given to us by Krishna so that we can show Him that our love will not flinch. And there's a wonderful verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in which love is defined. There's different verses that describe qualities of real love. And one of them is, if the beloved acts in such a way as you are justified to leave, but you don't leave, that's real love. That's one aspect of real love. Yes, sir.
A question came in from online listener.
This is from Mother Rangavati. Maharaj, you said that being attached to a particular clique tears society apart. My question is, when we are in the clique of ISKCON and tear our family and friends apart, aren't we also causing a disturbance and making those people be offensive to Krishna?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. If we become ourselves victims of political thinking, then yes. But to favor the devotees, to be attached to Krishna, to be attached to Krishna's devotees, to follow the instruction of Krishna, not to associate with non-devotees, especially if we're not in a position to be able to do that and still maintain our Krishna consciousness, as I mentioned in the class, then it's not necessarily counterproductive. Prabhupada used to tell us that if your preaching is actually potent, it will automatically create enemies in this material world. That is not the same as what I'm talking about, creating factions within a spiritual family. But at the same time, again, addressing Bhavan's point, Dharmabhavan's point, and the caller, it depends on our own capacity. It depends on our capacity to stay unflinching in Krishna consciousness. It's not that we can blame ourselves because we preach Krishna consciousness and the world doesn't follow us. Because if you take that mentality, then soon you'll find that you'll see the people, you know, who are averse to Krishna, you'll see them in a more positive light, and eventually you'll become influenced. And the danger is to go away from Krishna. That danger is there, and we have to be aware of it. We shouldn't. If you're sincere, I mean, I have this personal realization with my mom, because my mom was really averse. She was really averse, seriously averse. But I stayed in contact, but I couldn't do much. But when the chips were down, then Krishna made an arrangement, because he knew what the quality of my heart was, and he knew what the quality of her heart was. And he made the arrangement. Each individual soul has an individual destiny. And you can't force anyone. And if the soul chooses to be averse, and you choose not to be averse to them, in order to not to keep the family together, and you end up averse to Krishna, then you've made a huge mistake. Then you've made a huge mistake. And then the faction's okay. Let that part of the family be over there doing that, and let us be over here doing Krishna consciousness. That's okay. That's not wrong. Otherwise we'll become, you know, what's the word? Word slips my mind. Sympathetic. If you're sympathetic or empathetic to the wrong persons, then you will become like them. So this is not an easy thing to understand. But Prabhupada said, I heard him say it, so Hare Krishna, I'm going to say it. He said, externally, a householder will act like a henpecked husband. But internally, and then Prabhupada did this, he said, he doesn't care this much. He didn't mean that he didn't care, but he meant that he's not attached in that way. But externally, you can't tell the you know, materialistic husband from the spiritual husband. Because they do their duty properly to satisfy. But internally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur raised 10 kids. Come on. Yes, sir.
How in the beginning, the devotees were, they were told not to so much associate with family members like that. The way I see it is that what happened at that time helped us big time, because those devotees became strong in their Krishna consciousness. They became focused in their Krishna consciousness. And now, as generationally we've moved from like brahmachari movement to a grihastha movement, which is what we are now, it's helped us.
Or from a monastic center to a congregational center.
Yeah, that's more like that. Yeah,
because we still need the full time devotees. We're suffering.
Oh, absolutely.
From that,
absolutely.
From lack of that.
Absolutely. So it's helped us in the sense that now we're dealing with the families. What I'm seeing is that we're becoming carried away. by dealing with the families. We actually are not focused on what the purpose of dealing with the family is, which is actually to share our Krishna consciousness and become, like you said, unflinching. That all of us become unflinching. That is the real purpose of association.
Exactly.
That if we're given anybody, like close family and friends, then we should be helping ourselves and them become unflinching.
Yes.
And if that is the purpose of the relationship, then in the sense, we remain monastic because we need to be monastic at all times. Even when we're in the family, we're supposed to do that. And I see that that's where our movement is having issues now, that we're actually moving away and watering down the process and becoming, you know, more into the rules and regulations just to show people that, you know, that I'm also one of the ones who are actually doing things like that. We can't play these games anymore.
I like to call it when the rule and regulation becomes the master.
Yes.
The rule and the regulation is the servant of devotion.
Right.
They're meant to serve devotion.
Right.
If they become the master and the all in all, that becomes niyamagraha and it's a cause of fall down.
Yeah.
But there's another interpretation by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about this. This niyamagraha principle, where you neglect the rules, fall down, or you follow the rules without understanding what you're doing and fall down. But he says that there's another interpretation, and that is that if you come to a level of consciousness where you're ready to go to the next stage and you don't, you fall down. So this is... it's intertwined with what you're saying. It's a point I was trying to get to. I thank you for bringing the point up because it brings me to that point. Because it's intertwined. You know, we're meant to go forward to the perfection. Not that we're meant to think, I can't do it. We're meant to have a healthy fear of material life so that we won't play around with it in a way that we will be drugged back down into it. And at the same time, we're meant to feel humble. So like we're incompetent, we're not qualified. Everyone else is more qualified. Of course, that's a high level of humility. But there's a level of humility that can be cultivated by our own effort. And there's a level of humility that can be cultivated only by pleasing Krishna so much that we get special mercy from Krishna. And then at that level of humility, even though we're very highly qualified and can do extraordinary things, we will feel ourselves incompetent and unqualified. That is the essential prerequisite for achieving prema, according to Sanatana Goswami. So, yes, it's a very important point.
And I was thinking, Maharaj, that one thing that I'm seeing now is that we're so interested in preaching and reaching out to more people when we haven't actually taken care of our own family, you know. I mean, we really don't need to go for the numbers. We need to go for the quality. We have so many devotees in our movement. We need to boil the milk and go to the stage, like you said, of moving on to the perfectional stage instead of just having numbers, because what we're doing is we're watering down the process in the way, because we're trying to become popular. And, you know, dealing with people so that we show them that if they become Krishna conscious, they can be happy, which actually translates to more sense gratification than to actual renunciation, you know. But that's a big concern that I'm seeing, especially in India. I see that in large numbers people are joining, but they're not practicing the Krishna consciousness that we understood from Srila Prabhupada.
I'm going to read you something. Don't mind. Permission. This is a very important point you just made. And Prabhupada spoke about it very openly, actually. It's not quoted very much. And this is another thing. We have to read Prabhupada's books, and we have to study his words, and we have to study his example, and we have to follow. He was very strong about this point, and I want to hope I can find it. It'll just take me a second. Please, bear with me. I've almost got it. Please bear with me. Yeah. Prabhupada said, one conversation. Prabhupada says, so, everyone may try his best, that's all. The public may take or not take. It doesn't matter. And if you want to please the public says, you dance naked, I will be very happy with you. I will give you support. So I'll have to do that. Then what is the use of making a spiritual master? Public, they have got their whims, how to become pleased. So we are to follow all these things? We have to follow our instruction of the spiritual master. I'll leave it there. It's late. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Oh, wait, one more. Sorry, I'm sorry. Yes. Chaitanya Chandra ki jai. Sorry.
Now, I just want to make a comment according to the person who asked the question over the phone, that it may look like it's at the beginning that people become unappreciative and non-supportive and against ISKCON, but as the years go by and they actually begin to appreciate the devotees a lot more, they appreciate what is really going on. It just takes a little time. We appreciated it very quickly because of whatever mercy was there from Krishna and Prabhupada, the devotees, and then they extract themselves. Whereas the family members, they also don't have that same realization, obviously. But later, like your mother appreciated, my mother also on her deathbed, I was shocked at her receptivity level.
Exactly.
And family members of a lot of the old devotees that I know, they really, really appreciate the devotees now.
It's not, not an isolated incident. Yeah. That's right.
They all begin to appreciate it. So it just takes time. They, you know, once they learn something about it, it may take a long time. But because our real responsibility to them as family members is to become purified, as Lord Nrsimhadeva told Prahlad Maharaj, that a devotee in one family delivers seven generations three times, or three times seven generations of different family members from different lifetimes. So even though they don't appreciate, maybe, if we continue to be strong, the Lord delivers those family members. He makes the arrangement for them. And we don't actually have to worry about that in that sense, that the Lord is actually doing that. That's His promise. So we can feel comfortable that we're doing the right thing and that the Lord's going to take care of them also.
Correct. Perfectly correct. Thank you. We'll leave it at that. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.